If you've been tracking with us at online here, Discovery Online, we've been starting a series last week called Refocus, where we are looking at where God is leading us as a church in this new season of ministry, this new time of year, all these things. So last week, we talked about the mission of our church, which was by the power of the Holy Spirit, we will love God and love people. We will follow Jesus, and we will help people follow Jesus. Nice and simple. We unpacked that a little bit. You can check that out online if you missed it. Today, we're looking at our renewed vision, which is where are we going as we move forward? To start off with that, I want us to kind of look backwards at where has the church been. So if you can just climb into your time capsule for a minute, we're going to move back into the very first century when Jesus was preaching in Judea. At the very beginning of the first century, life was incredibly divisive and compartmentalized. People stayed in their own people groups. For example, Jews didn't associate with Gentiles, non-Jews. Women and children were seen as possessions and, frankly, as liabilities rather than equals. Socioeconomic divisions were incredibly real. There were slaves and there were slave owners. There were Roman citizens and there were non-Roman citizens. There were rich and there were beggars. And so this class and social status was really important in that day. It was really palpable in that day. If you held a banquet, you would only invite significant and important people to your banquet. Servants didn't mix with masters. And then this Jesus guy comes on the scene, and he preaches about the kingdom of God, a new and radical subversive culture where man-made barriers were starting to be abolished, where these cultural restrictions were being broken down, and where people were finding freedom in Christ and relationship with one another. And Jesus then goes to the cross, and he dies, and he resurrects, and he ascends to heaven, and the Father sends the Holy Spirit on those who have given their life to Christ. All of them receive the Holy Spirit. This is a beautiful fulfillment of a prophecy that we see hundreds of years before in the book of Joel. In Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, this is what it says. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Holy Spirit in those days. And the early church was birthed. Now, there were a lot of miraculous things that happened in the early church, but the most miraculous thing that happened in the early church was not the visions or the prophecies or the healings, although those were really cool. The most miraculous thing that ever happened in the early church was the unity within the diversity of the church. The unity within the diversity of the church. Because, see, here's the thing. The early church was still made up of all these different people that were part of that first century culture. It was part, the early church had slaves and it had slave owners, both now worshiping the same God together. Men, women, and children would learn how to follow Jesus through the apostles' teaching. Young and old would care for one another. Jews and Gentiles shared the gospel and served their community arm in arm. Now, please hear me. I am under no false pretenses that the early church was perfect. We know from a lot of Paul's letters that they had a lot of issues because they were learning. They were learning and developing what it meant to live in this kingdom of God culture. This was a huge culture shift for them. They had to learn, and they were constantly being reminded what this new reality that they lived in now was to be. It wasn't easy, but this was God's intention for them. It was God's intention for the church to be a church full of all of these different people living and loving one another. And because of that, it was good. Now, just so that you don't think that I'm just pulling this right out of thin air, let me look at a scripture passage with you from Ephesians chapter 2, which talks about this new dynamic that we find ourselves in. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 11. It says this, "Therefore, remember that formerly you who were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world." Just pause here for a second. If you're like me, I have no Jewish DNA in my body. I am a Gentile through and through. What that means is that what Paul is saying about these Gentiles, these quote-unquote uncircumcised people, that was true of me, probably true of you as well. We were foreigners. We were excluded from citizenship in Israel. We were without hope and without God in the world. That's who we were. We were the out group. There was the in group, the Jewish people, and then there was the out group, those excluded, the Gentiles. I was one of those. I'm guessing that most of you were as well. Listen, verse 13. "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Hallelujah for that. You and I have been brought near because of Christ. We were foreigners, now we are part of his family. He continues, "For Christ himself is our peace, who has made the two groups, the Jews and the Gentiles, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations." Listen to this, folks. "His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and he preached to those who were far away, and peace to those who are far away, and peace to those who are near. For through him, we both have access to the Father through one Spirit." In Christ, the divisions are broken down. The ethnicities are broken down. Instead of two antagonistic groups, the ins and the outs, we have one family. Let's finish up here with Ephesians 2:19. "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but you are now fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become one holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become one dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." Now that is what the church was meant to be. That was where the church was meant to be, this undivided, one whole group of people from different backgrounds, different ethnicities, brought together in Christ. Over 2,000 years later, come back to today, I believe that we, at least in the North American church, that we have lost a lot of the beautiful miracle of the kingdom of God. Let you think about that for a second. Now, what you may or may not know about me is I'm a bit of a bread maker. I use that term really liberally. I know how to make like one kind of bread, but it's delicious, absolutely delicious. And I have here some of the ingredients for my amazing bread. I have the recipe here, actually. My bread takes 2 cups of sourdough starter, right here, 1 cup of water, 1 cup of milk, 2 tablespoons of, 1 tablespoon of oil, 1 tablespoon of honey, 5 cups of flour, and 1 teaspoon of salt. Now, that is the recipe. These are some of the ingredients. But if you were to come and just like eat some of those ingredients, that would be really disgusting. Sure, you might not have a whole bad time with the 1 tablespoon of honey, but the 5 cups of flour, you'd probably have a hard time getting that down. The ingredients aren't meant to be apart. They only work well when you put them together and you get this beautiful bread. And trust me, it is delicious. If it was not COVID, I would pass some out to everyone, but I'm just going to have it for myself instead. And I'll call that COVID safe. The problem with North American churches today is that many of them have become homogeneous churches. They've bought into some sort of a consumer mindset that says that we need to that we need a certain demographic in our church, and we need to do everything we can to get whatever that demographic is that we are pursuing, instead of seeing themselves as the body of Christ, the family of God. It's like saying we are the church that is just flour, or we are the church that is just honey. It just doesn't work well. We are meant to be the church that has lots of different people and lots of different personalities and ethnicities and backgrounds and gifts and talents and messiness, and we make something beautiful together. Now, just so you know, today I'm laying it all down for you. This is incredibly candid, okay? Let me be totally candid here. It is so much safer and frankly much more comfortable to be part of a church where everybody is like me, okay? At least that's what I think. Where everyone is like me, where everyone likes the type of music that I like, that would be comfortable. Where everyone is in the same life stage that I'm at, that would be comfortable. Where I look around and I see me reflected in others, that's the most comfortable place it would be, right? It may be comfortable, it may be safe, but let me tell you, it's not good. At least not according to what we see in Scripture. Well, Brian, where are you going with all this? Well, after a lot of prayer and a lot of listening to God, I am convinced that God wants Discovery Community Church to be reconnecting with the heart of the early church. And in that, I feel like God has given me these beautiful pictures, pictures of older men mentoring younger men, older women mentoring younger women, where children and youth are not the church of tomorrow, but they are an active part of the church of today. They're not waiting in the wings to serve. They are an integral part of the church today. And I love the fact that we have 2 young ladies here helping to worship God, because they recognize that they are the church of today. We are all called to serve, not just be served, to use our talents and gifts as part of the full part of the body of Christ. I see a church where white people and black people and Chinese and Middle Eastern and indigenous people all come together and they worship God. Bible talks about every tongue, every tribe, every nation. That's got to start somewhere, right? I see a church where high income, middle income, and low income people love and serve one another, where there isn't an us and them mentality, but we are all one in Christ. Okay, side note for a second. Bear with me. This is super important, though. I want to make this point really clear. Your economic status is not sin. Okay? The amount of wealth that you have in your bank account or the amount of money that you earn or are given in a month is not, it has nothing to do with sin. Okay? So whether you have a lot of wealth or no wealth at all, there is no sin in that. We can have a conversation more about how you use your money and all those kind of things and where sin comes into that. But the amount of money, your net worth, does not dictate whether you have sin in your life or not. Can we agree with that? Okay. That being said then, let me paint a picture for you. What if someday, hopefully someday even soon, we were a church where someone could serve faithfully on the worship team or as a greeter or in our children's ministry or even on our leadership team, and that person just happens to also be homeless? I'll let you just stew on that for a minute. These are some of the images and the pictures that God has given me as he's been helping to figure out where's the church supposed to be going in the next season of ministry. And they're beautiful pictures. But again, let me be really candid with you. They're also incredibly scary pictures. They're scary, first of all, because I have no idea how we will get there. In fact, they're such big pictures that it means that they will only happen through an act of God, like everything should. Because after all, if we can just fabricate and produce something in our own strength, that's probably too small of a vision for the church. But if we need God, if we desperately need God to move and to do a miracle in our church, then that is a big enough vision for God to be behind it. And so, yes, again, candidly, I would, the me part of me would much rather be part of a church where I look around and I just see me reflected. But I don't believe that that is what the biblical church was ever meant to be. Now, I'm not a salesman. I'm not good at persuading people. In fact, I really hate persuading people or trying to persuade people. I don't feel like that's my job. My job as a pastor at this church is to present what I believe God is giving me to share with you and to do that faithfully. And so my prayer as we move into this new season, as we look at this refocus series, is that the Holy Spirit would just move in all of our hearts and bring us together to be excited about what God is calling us faithfully to. With that in mind, I want to share with you some of the wording that we're using for this renewed vision that we are embracing as we move into this next season. I believe that God is wanting to bring us into this spot, to be an integrated family of Jesus followers from all ages, cultures, and socioeconomic conditions. Fulfilling our mission, remember that mission that we talked about last week? Fulfilling that mission together through biblical community. And so here are a few things that I want us to just consider as we percolate on that and as the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts. Number one, we are not a church of individuals, but we are a church family. We are meant to be a church family. We're not meant to be an individuals. We're meant to be a church family. Now, most of you have some sort of a family that you're connected to, whether that's a biological or adopted family. You have people that you would call family. And if you're like me, they're kind of weird, right? Every family has a black sheep. And if your family doesn't have the black sheep, then look at yourself, because you're probably the black sheep in your family. Paul uses the term brothers and sisters more than 65 times in his early church letters found in the New Testament. We are called to be a family. What that means is that we are called to love one another even when we don't like one another. That a family doesn't mean people that always look the same or act the same or value the same things. That it is full of weird aunts and crazy uncles, and your nephews and nieces and cousins. We may not agree on our political agendas. We may not agree on our career choices. We may not agree on our parenting styles. We may not even agree completely on our theological positions. Remember, essentials, non-essentials. And yet we are still called to be a family. And so if that's the case, then here at Discovery, we are going to be a family of God, the church family. So we are not going to be a Zoomers church. I'm talking about the generation, not like the online platform, because we're doing a lot of that right now. But we're not a Zoomers church. We're not a Boomers church. We're not a Gen X church or a Millennials church. We are called to be the church family, the family of God. We're not going to be an indigenous church or a white person church or a Chinese church. We are called to be a church family where black and white and indigenous and Chinese and Filipino and everyone else can learn to grow in love and obedience to Jesus. We are called to be a church family, the family of God. Let me be clear on this. We are not going to be a homeless church or a rich person church or a middle class church. We are called to be a church family, a family of God, where everyone has a place to belong and where everyone has a place to serve. Remember again what Paul wrote in Ephesians 2. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. Let me share three quick stories or three quick images with you about what this could look like, or at least where I've seen this in my life. Backtrack many years ago when I was single in university. I went to a university. I was part of InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, which is like a Christian group on campus. That was awesome. But I also really believed that I needed to be part of a local church. And so I looked around, and a lot of my friends from IVCF were going to a church that just specialized in student ministry. Like, they did student ministry well. There were tons of university students that went to that church and loved it there. But through some wise and godly counsel, I chose to go to a local church that had very few students. And that's a whole nother story, but over the course of those 4 years, I got involved in a men's Bible study in that church. And for most of those 4 years, I was the youngest person in that men's Bible study by like 30 years. And yet, it was one of the best groups that I have ever been part of. Not only when we were working through the book of John was that inspiring and encouraging, but even as encouraging, I found that I was learning, what does it mean to be a godly father? or a godly grandfather from some of these men. What does it mean to be a Christ follower at work in the marketplace? What does it mean to love your wife as Christ loved the church? And I craved and I loved having those men build into and speak into my life. Let me give you image number two. A few years later, Heather and I get married, and we are attending and part of a small but vibrant church plant. Now, if you've been part of Discovery for a while, you know that Discovery was a church plant. This was a church plant that was meeting in a sports center, so I recognize the wonders and challenges of church plant ministry. But one of the things I love the most about this church were the potlucks. Speaks right to my heart. Well, why did I love the potlucks? Because I loved all the diversity in the food. There was like so many different ethnicities of food. Well, why were there different ethnicities of food? Because people brought what they ate and where they came from. Why did that happen? You catching on here? Because Heather and I, as white people, as Caucasians, were the minority in this church. And it was a beautiful image of what I believe eternity is going to be like around the throne of God. That there were people with Chinese and Filipino and Jamaican and Middle Eastern backgrounds. There were new immigrants and ethnically diverse Canadians. And we were all praising Jesus together. Beautiful image of what the church is meant to be. Let me give you one more example here. There is a person at the church here at Discovery. I won't use their name, although many of you will guess. This person serves the church every single day. He's here picking up cigarette butts and ministering to homeless people. I tongue-in-cheek call him our security guy. And up until a month ago, he was also sleeping on our steps. And he would say that this is his church family. And that Pastor Dave and I are his pastors, and that you are his family. And I have seen, I've witnessed and seen more generosity, more humility in this one man serving quietly in ways most of us would never want to serve. And yet he has found a place to belong here at Discovery. That's just a beautiful example of what God is already doing here at Discovery and wants us to be moving forward in. And so I leave those three images with you all to say we are meant to be a church family. We are meant to be caring for one another and seeing each other within our differences as the body of Christ, as the church, as family, caring for one another. Number two, integration. I believe that God wants everyone to have a place to belong and everyone to have a role to play. Again, I see the older and the younger caring for one another. The rich and the poor caring for one another. We're moving in a direction where our children and our youth are not going to be waiting on the sidelines to be serving, but that we're going to be giving them opportunities to serve in ways that are just are how God has made them and to discover the gifts that God has given to them. In the same way, just be warned, we're no longer going to be buying into the excuse, I'm too old for this. If you think that you have retired from being an integral part of the church, then you are absolutely wrong. If you are not dead, you are not done. That may seem blunt, but it's very true. There is no retirement in the Bible. Your role might change. We may not have you lifting heavy furniture anymore, but the mentoring that you have to do, the wisdom that we need from you, the prayers that we need from you, are incredibly important. We need our older generation to be serving, to be caring for the younger generation, to be mentoring them, to be praying for us. Do you know how fervently I covet your prayers for myself, for Dave, for our leadership team? Please know, there is very few things more powerful than a praying grandmother or praying grandfather. Whole other stories in there. But you have a role to play. We all have a role to play. And so we are moving into that integrated family of God, where everyone has a place to belong and where everyone has a role to serve. And again, over the next few weeks, we'll talk more about some of this. But number three, here's the third thing I want us to really think through. That we are called to have biblical community. That we are aligning ourselves with the kingdom of God values, not the worldly values. That we need to be looking at our world, that we need to be looking at each other the way that Christ wants us to be looking, to be valuing each other the way that we see in Scripture, not the way that the world sees us. We are moving to biblical community, not looking at the way the world looks. Let me close with a couple of scriptures here. Paul, in two places, in Galatians and in Colossians, he again just reiterates what the church is meant to be. He says in Galatians 3, 28 and 29, "There is neither Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." He echoes this in Colossians chapter 3. He says, "There is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all." Friends, as we move forward into this new ministry season, I want to just encourage all of us to see ourselves as that biblical community, as that family mentality where everyone has a place to belong and everyone has a role to serve, that we would all be sold out for Christ, that we would work together and we would value one another the way the Bible, the way Christ values us. May we do that for his glory, that the intention of the church could be brought back to beautiful and fervent life here in Campbell River. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you that you are bringing us back into focus, into a focus that, frankly, some of us have lost. Many of your people have lost. And Father, I just pray that you would forgive us for that, that you would forgive us for the desire to buy into a consumeristic way of doing church, of looking for people to feed our needs rather than seeing an opportunity to serve and care for others. Father, forgive us. And I thank you for the men and the women within this church already who have that heart to serve and to love and to see people as part of your family. I thank you for those who are already working to mentor those who are younger or to learn from those who are older. I want to thank you for those that are breaking down the cultural barriers and the economic barriers within our community and our church. And Lord, I pray that the rest of us would just get on board with them and with you, that we would see your kingdom come here at Discovery and in Campbell River. That people would look at this church community and say, there is something different here. They value something that we don't see in our world. They value people because they value God. And so, Father, thank you. Lord, we lay ourselves and our own preferences and our own comfort levels at your feet. We want to just follow you in whatever way you are leading. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.